Exodus chapter 12. Last week we started our study of the Passover, the 10th plague with which God plagued Egypt. We've noticed how that as one plague after another was brought upon that land of Egypt, Pharaoh hardened his heart more and more. And God, through Moses, told Pharaoh that if he would not let his firstborn, Israel, go, that God would slay Pharaoh's firstborn. And Pharaoh just hardened his heart against God. And so the time has come when Pharaoh's firstborn is to be slain, and the time of judgment is approaching. But we noticed also that the children of Israel were under the judgment of God as well, because they were sinners, just as were the Egyptians. There is no favored class or race of people in this world. There never has been, in the sense that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Back in the Old Testament times, the door of God's grace was open to the nations, to the Gentiles, as well as to Israel, if they would come to God by way of the blood of the Lamb that is slain. And so it is today. They were told in chapter 12 and verse 3 to pick out a lamb from the flock, a year-old lamb. It was to be one without spot or blemish, a perfect lamb. It was to be picked out on the 10th day, and it was to be kept until the 14th day to make sure that it was indeed perfect and without spot or blemish. And then on the 14th day it was to be killed. They were to take the lamb to the door of the house. It would be stretched out by its hind legs and front legs with the head down, and the throat would be cut with a sharp knife, and it was to be bled to death. And the blood collected in the basin. And then they were to take a bunch of hyssop and smear some of the blood up over the top of the door and on either side of the door. God had said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Verse 13 of chapter 12, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever." Verse 26, "It shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' And you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.' And the people bowed the head and worshipped." "The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." It came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Judgment struck, just as God predicted that it would. I think we should turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament and notice what is in store for this world. The blood of the Lamb has been spilled. The Lamb was slain on the tree on Golgotha. Even the Son of God, who came into this world and became a man, that he might die for man, his creature's sin. That blood has been shed. We are between the evening sacrifice and the midnight hour when judgment falls. Today we're between those two points. And judgment is going to come. We see in our country things going to pieces. A year ago, no one ever thought of an energy crisis. That is, among the general public at least. A few spoke out and said we're heading for trouble, and people wouldn't listen. And here we are with trouble upon us. God speaks out in His Word and says that judgment is coming. A few are listening to the voice of God and fleeing for refuge to the Lamb that was slain and hiding under or behind, as one might say, the blood of the Lamb that was slain. For those folks in Egypt were to, after the blood was applied to their houses, to the door, they were to go inside the house and there feed upon the roast lamb. And next week we'll notice how they were to eat it. But today I thought that we would digress a little to notice the judgment of God which is coming upon this world. And it'll come just as sure as God is alive. And just as sure as the sun is in the sky, even though the clouds might obscure it, and even though the ideas of man may obscure the truth of God, the judgment of God is coming. And it's sure, and it's near. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 3, Paul writing to these saints, those who had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been cleansed with the precious blood of Christ, said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you toward each other abounds or increases, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And this is a word to us who are the Lord's. We can expect that things are going to get worse. We can expect trouble. But we can be patient and trust God in the midst of all of these persecutions, which we haven't felt really yet, and tribulation, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. That is, God will give us relief. And then he speaks of the time when the recompense of verse 6 is going to fall upon the ungodly. In verse 7, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice who is to be punished. Before we go to verse 9, where it tells more about their punishment, the Lord Jesus is going to come from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire to take vengeance on certain people. First, them that know not God. Those who don't really know God. And the word know, as it is used so often in our Bibles, doesn't mean just to know about. It means to know intimately, to know personally, to know experimentally. Do you know God like that? Intimately, experimentally, personally. And the second class, really the same class with two descriptions maybe, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not pay attention, those who do not obey, those who do not heed when the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again to save us, is preached. And it says, of these who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. Maybe this applies to you. I hope not. But if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, if you haven't been born again, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not everything to you, if you've not really committed yourself to him, then this does apply to you. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? You don't believe it? Are there some here this morning that don't believe it? Could be. You know, I can see things in this audience that the rest of you can't see. It makes me wonder if there's some here this morning who don't believe what I'm saying, what I'm reading. I'm reading very solemn words, dreadful words of a dreadful thing that's coming. We don't know how quick the door of God's grace is going to be slammed shut. And then there'll be no more hope, no more time for you to be saved. It'll be forever and ever too late. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from or away from the presence of the Lord. Oh, how terrible to be separated forever from Him who is the one who gives all good things to us richly to enjoy. His sun shines on the just and the unjust. His rain falls on the just and on the unjust. God lavishes upon humanity the good things of this life, especially in this country, and offers to humanity the good things of eternal life. And withholds from us that bad which we deserve. No, to be separated from all that is good and all that is pleasant and all that is glorious, all that is wonderful forever and ever. And to be shut up to that which is terrible, that which is bad, that which causes endless anguish, pain, misery, forever and forever. How awful such a thought. And yet, God tells us these things in plain English so that we can understand and so that we can flee from the wrath to come to His beloved Son, who is indeed, as we have already heard this morning, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is true that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Are you experiencing that plan? Are you still separated from God by that sin and rebellion of your own heart? And though at times you might try to reach up to God, you can't find Him, you can't reach Him, you can't reach that high. But it's also true that God came down in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and became the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He hung on that accursed tree. His blood ran from His head, His hands, His side, His feet, His back, His body, down to the ground. And He died for you. Now it's left to you to repent, to turn away from your sin, yourself, the world, and to turn away to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your own personal Savior. Yes, verse 10 says, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, the Lord Jesus is going to come to be glorified in His saints and to it be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Faith that produces results, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for a moment, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 2. Peter is writing to people, and he says to them, "You're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." God knew beforehand what would happen back there in Egypt long ago. He knew that Pharaoh would harden his heart and the Egyptians. And there were some of the Egyptians, evidently, that did put blood upon their houses and were saved. It would seem so. Because when Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, a mixed multitude went with them. There was salvation for the Egyptians, too, if they would kill the lamb and put blood on their house. And God knew who would and who wouldn't. And he knew that Israel would listen to him and would kill the lamb and put the blood on the houses. And God knows ahead of time those who are going to receive him and those who are not. But he says today to us, whosoever will, if you only will, put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. You shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, to be chosen by God the Father according to his foreknowledge. And the second step in this verse is sanctification of the Spirit. That's before we're saved. Did you know that God has sanctified us before we were saved? He set us apart by his Spirit as ones with whom his Spirit would deal, convicting us of our sin and pointing us away to the salvation which is in the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third step. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God sets us apart and leads us to the point where we, realizing that we're poor, lost sinners without God and without hope, under the judgment and the condemnation of God, and the judgment is coming soon, is going to fall just as sure as God is alive, we obey and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and up above the door. It's already been shed. How do you take the blood and sprinkle it on the doorposts and up above the door? Just by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. By really trusting him. Really, not pretending to, not saying you do, but really putting your trust in him. I pray that you will not be left for judgment, but that you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still time. And those of us who do belong to the Lord, we need to be feeding on the roast lamb. And we need to know how to feed on the roast lamb. And this we'll take up next time. You can read in Exodus chapter 12 and study it out for yourself. May God bless you as you do. And don't forget, ladies, Wednesday evening, and the men are welcome too. Lord willing, we'll take up the Christian wife and her responsibility. Very heart-searching. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we can hide and be safe from the terrible storm of judgment that is coming. Thank you for the privilege of trusting Christ as Savior and making Him Lord of our lives. Lord, search each one of our hearts this morning by Your Spirit and show us just how we stand before You, and cause us to face solemnly and carefully how we stand, and to get right with You while there's still time to do it. We thank You for Your word and ask Your blessing upon it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.